الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، may Allah reward the Shaykh for the khutbah, which is a reminder and an admonishment for all those who wish to take heed before it is too late. He began the khutbah by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the everlasting, and had decreed that everything upon earth shall perish. And He made this life of ours a place for testing and trials. And further, He made the graves afterwards for the people of belief the most suitable accommodation. He praised them because Allah deserves the praise, and He thanked them during the times of adversity and prosperity, and during the times of difficulty and the times of ease. Then He bore witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, with no partners. He is the one who gives abundantly, the one who is majestic and almighty, the one who is free from having equals and partners, the one who is above having anything in His likeness. And He bore witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger, and He is the master of those chosen by Allah, and He is the seal of all prophets. May Allah send His peace and His blessings, exalt His mention, that of His family members, His loyal companions, and all those who follow them until the day of judgment, as long as the heavens and the earth remain. As to what follows, he said, I remind myself and you, O slaves of Allah, to have taqwa of Allah, the one who knows the secrets. Have taqwa of Him inwardly and outwardly, and know that the taqwa of Allah is the best means that one will have to be protected in the grave. And it is the best preparation one will prepare for the day of judgment, the day where that which is withheld inside will be exposed, the day where the throats or the hearts will make it to the throats, the day where no wealth or any kind of currency will be of any benefit. Slaves of Allah, who is the one who had decreed that He will be the everlasting? And who is the one who decreed that everyone will die? Who is the ever-living who never dies? Who is it that the one that nothing changes him, but He causes change? Subhanah, it is Allah, the one, the irresistible. He had decreed that everyone shall come to an end. Then he mentioned a lot of poetry. I will try to summarize that, as it is not easy to translate poetry. But then he said, if you know that death is coming to you, how do you relax? How do you feel satisfied? If you know that the grave is your next destination, then how do you take this dunya as your permanent abode? We have been distracted by our wealth and our homes, by our children and our castles, from thinking about the destination of the grave. To Allah we complain the hardness of the heart, even though we are being reminded in numerous ways. O Muslims, how difficult is it to give farewell to the loved ones? And how much does it affect the heart to leave those who are dear to you? But whoever believes in the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree, he knows that this is the way of Allah with His creation. And you will have no choice but to submit and become pleased with Allah. But it is amazing, O Muslims, that many people are heedless, following their ways and desires. And Allah said in the Quran, accountability has come near to people while they are heedless and they're turning away.
as if it is not for us, as if death was not decreed for one of us. He said that the wealth and the children have been able to preoccupy our hearts and take over our souls, as if we will abide here eternally. But today, we need to think and reflect, so we will be able to save ourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you asked yourself, O believer, when you go near a grave, have you asked yourself about these tens of funeral prayers that are performed? What is the destination of these people? Where are they in fact going from the various janazat that we pray upon? And what is waiting for them in the grave? What is their final destination? He said these graves contain within them the earlier generations and the later ones. It contains the young children and the elderly. It contains the one who used to give command and the one who used to be commanded. It contains the prophets and the scholars, the rich and the poor, the director and the employees, the men and the women. All of them are within the graves. Then he recited some poetry that reads or translates more or less that the grave is a door which everyone shall enter. But what is it that is waiting for us after we enter through that door? The door or the abode could be that of pleasure if you do that which is pleasing to the Creator. And if you oppose, then it will be the hellfire. He said, come my brothers, let us live together this amazing event that will depict the reality of what is waiting for each and every one of us. And it is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, one of the most famous narrations in the context of the grave and what happens afterwards. And this hadith is authentic, inshaAllah. He said, we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform the janazah upon one of the Ansar. And while we made it to the grave, and it wasn't yet dug, I'm sorry for the English speakers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and we sat down around him as if they are birds on our heads. This is an indication that they were not moving too much and they were in a state of humbleness and khushu'. As if the, you know, it's like it's a rock. A bird would not usually land on something moving, it would land on something that is fixed. They were so fixed in their place as birds could come and land on their heads, and you cannot tell whether these are human beings or otherwise. And the Prophet ﷺ had a stick, a small stick, and he was, you know, he was just scratching the ground with it. Then he looked up to us and he said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. He said it twice or thrice. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, when the believing servant is on the verge of departing from the dunya and coming to the life to come, angels from the skies will descend upon him with white faces as if their faces are the sun. And they will have a shroud from the shrouds of Jannah and perfume from the perfume of Jannah. And they will sit close to him the extent of his sight. They will reach all the way as far as he can see. And then the angel of death, peace be upon him, will sit by his head. And he will say, O pure soul, come out to the forgiveness of your Lord and his pleasure. And so the soul will come out the same way a drop of water trickles from the edge of the faucet. You know, a very soft event, just something very subtle, very soft. And they will quickly take it from him. It would not remain with the angel of death longer than the blink of an eye before the assistant angels will take that soul and they will place it in that shroud which they brought with them from Jannah and in that perfume. So the most beautiful musk, the smell of the most beautiful musk you've ever smelled will will emanate from this particular soul, this shroud. And they will go up. And every time they go by a group of angels, the angels will ask, what is this good soul? Whose is this good soul? So they will say, this is the soul of Fulan ibn Fulan. Ahmad ibn Rabi', whatever the person's name. And they will call him by the most beautiful names he used to be called by in the dunya. Until they make it to the Sama' al-Dunya. The heaven of the nearest one to us. The bottom one. Because then there are six above it. And when they make it, and they will continue to go, one in every, the door will open, excuse me, the door will open, and then angels from that Sama' will actually descend with that soul till the second one. And it will continue until they make it to the seventh heaven. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, اُكْتُبُوا كِتَابَ عَبْدِي فِي عِلِّيِّينَ. You all know Surah Al-Mutaffifin? إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. This is what is intended here. Allah will say, write the book of my, the name, the ulama are different in the interpretation. Anyways, write the name of my servant among the highest, and the highest tablet, or which is that of the closest people to Allah Azza wa Jal. And return him to the earth, because really from earth I created them, to earth I shall return them, and from it I will resurrect them once again. So then the soul will be sent back to the body. And two angels, if we can turn off the music in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Allah destroys us. It will say, and two angels will come, and we all know the Munkar and Nakir. They will make him sit up, and they will ask him about his Lord, about his religion, and about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will answer with the affirmative. Allah will give him the thabat. This is why we make dua. Once they put someone in the grave, we ask Allah to give him thabat, to keep him firm in the statement. So when he answers correctly, then a caller will call from the sky that my slave has said the truth. So spread out a part of Jannah in his grave. Spread out for him a part of Jannah in his grave. And make him dress from the clothing of Jannah. And open for him a door to Jannah. He will see his location. And from there he will get from the perfume and from the goodness of Jannah. Furthermore, his grave will be expanded, the extent of his eyesight. And a beautiful man with a beautiful face will come to him. Good clothing, good smell. And he will say, I give you glad tidings of that which will please you. This is the day you have been promised. The man will say, who are you? Your face is the face of someone who brings good news. He will say, I am your righteous deeds. I am your righteous deeds. All these salawat, and the siyam, and the zakah, the remembrance of Allah, enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, da'wah. All this will come at that time of need in the form of a man. He will be so happy that he will say, oh Allah, establish the hour. He doesn't want to wait till the day of judgment now. He wants the day of judgment to happen immediately, because he cannot wait to what is waiting for him afterwards. So I may return to my family and my wealth. This is the good news. But usually with good news, there's bad news. And we need to be careful of both. As for the disbelieving servant, when he is about to depart from the dunya and approach the life to come, angels from the skies come down with black faces. And they will have the worst kind of fabric with them. And they will also sit the extent of the sight from this man. And the angel of death will come by his head and say, oh wicked soul, evil soul, go out to the anger of Allah and his wrath. So the soul will try to disperse in his body. The soul wants to run away from being extracted from the body. However, he will take it out, and the manner in which this will happen is equal to one of you trying to get some iron through some wet wool. You know, some fabric, put some water on it, try to get some iron to go through it. It's a very difficult process. There's a lot of friction, a lot of pain. And this is how the soul of that person will leave the body. And by the way, this is according to some of the tafsir, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, speaks about those two. The angels which will take out the souls in this fashion. One which is good for the believer, one which is evil for the disbeliever. Then they will take it up and it will stink. It will have the worst odor one can smell. And every time they go up among the, you know, ascend in the heaven, the angels are, what is this evil smell? What is this evil soul? They will say, this is the soul of such and such, the son of such and such. And they will call him by the worst names he used to have in the dunya. Until they make it to Sama al-Dunya, however, there's another scenario here. It will not open. The first one will go to the seventh heaven, one Sama after the other. This one, from the first one, it will not open. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the statement of Allah, لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ, the doors, the gates of the heavens will not be open for them. Furthermore, Allah will say, write the book of my servant fi sijjin, in the lowest of low. His name will be written, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ السُّفْلَى. And then his soul will be tossed. It will be thrown away. It will not be taken down in the same fashion it went up. It will be thrown away. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Hajj. And whoever associates partners with Allah, it is as if his soul has fallen from the sky. So a bird will take it away, or the wind will throw it in a far distant place. This is the one who commits shirk with Allah. Grave worshipping is included in that. Calling on Mawlana Fulan is included in that. Going to the Masjid al-Nabawi and calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is included in that. Seeking help from magicians is included in that. All of these are major shirk that no one should dispute about. There's no dispute in Islam about what major shirk is. Allah will not leave that which will take you to Jahannam eternally ambiguous, unclear. It is clear, very clear, in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But ignorance has prevailed, and we need to learn and educate our family members. This is not a joke. This is what shirk is. The person will not be able to go to paradise forever, never, even if they prayed. The hypocrites used to pray. The munafiqeen, whom Allah said about in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the fire, below the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus and the Buddhists, even below the atheists, those who deny the concept of God altogether. The munafiqeen will be below them. They used to go for jihad. They used to pray the five daily prayers. They will miss Fajr and Isha often because of their hypocrisy. They used to show off when they would do salah. But they were engaged with the Muslims in acts of worship. So don't think if somebody prays and he's worshipping Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he's going to go to Jannah because of a salah. No. It will not happen. We need to establish tawheed in our lives and instill it in our children. This is the most valuable asset we will take. If we lose that, we have no Islam. No Islam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to say, his soul will be returned to his body. Two angels will come, the same ones, Munkar and Nakir, as it comes in other narrations. They will ask him about his Lord, his religion, his Prophet. He will say, huh? He will not be able to answer. Even though he knew it, if you ask him today, he will answer. But at that time of need, Allah will not give him the ability to articulate these basic answers. He will say, huh? I don't know. I heard the people say, I was saying the same, a caller will call from the sky, my servant has lied. My servant has lied. Then they will spread out for him a part of Jahannam in his grave, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. A door to Jahannam will be opened to him, and he will receive from the heat and the stench of Jahannam in his grave. And furthermore, the grave will become so tight that his ribs will intertwine. His ribs will go into each other because of how tight the grave will become. then a man with the ugliest appearance will come to him, with the ugliest face, ugliest clothes, and the most heinous of smells. And he will say to him, I give you glad tidings of that which will be bad news for you. This is the day that you were promised. He will say, who are you? Your face is the face of evil. He will say, I am your evil deeds. I am your evil deeds, wal-iyadu billah. Then he will say, oh Allah, do not establish the hour. Oh Allah, do not establish the hour. Because he knows that what is coming afterwards is way worse than that. He said, what a great hadith that should take our hearts and revive them. It is befitting for the one who knows that this is his destination, and that worms will be his company, and dirt will be his bed, and Munkar and Nakir will be the one who will question him, and that the grave will be his destination, and the Qiyamah is his appointment, and that at the end he's going to Jannah or Jahannam, that he shall not be heedless about these moments. He further narrated another narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Bara ibn Azib also narrated, we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw a group of people from a distance. He said, why are these people gathering? They said, upon a grave which they will dig. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam panicked, and he ran in that direction until he made it to the grave. Then he kneeled on his knees, and he started to cry until his tears, they were on the ground, until his tears actually wet the ground. Then he turned towards us and said, oh my brothers, to a day like this, prepare yourselves. To a day like this, prepare yourselves. He said, this was the condition of our righteous predecessors. Hani, the own slave of Uthman radiallahu anhu, said that Uthman radiallahu anhu would go to the grave and he would cry until his beard will become wet. And it will be said to him, you remember Jannah and Jahannam, but you don't cry. However, when you come to the grave, you start crying. He said, verily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the grave is the first destination, it's the first milestone of the life to come. It's the first accommodation of what is coming after. If one is saved from it, then whatever comes after will be easier. And if one is not saved from it, then whatever comes after will be worse. Thabit al-Bunani used to say, whenever we would see the janazah, you would only see people crying. You would only see people crying. He said, what about, this is how they used to fear Allah. This was the strength of our iman. But what about our condition today? And go to a janazah, and you will see people joking and laughing as if nothing is going on. People talking on the way there, talking on the way back. And people, you know, afterwards drinking cold water while waiting for the other people to come. Which is, all these are innovations, by the way, waiting in line and shaking everyone's hand and all this. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gathering in the deceased house and waiting for people to come, giving them coffee and tea and food. This is all against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's from innovations. Rather, when someone dies, all you have to do is, when you see his family members, whenever you see them, you give him condolences. According to the hadith, لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِقَدَرٍ فَاصْبِرْ وَاحْتَسِبْ. To Allah belongs everything He gave and whatever He took back. And everything with Allah is according to a fixed ordainment. Be patient and seek Allah's reward. That's the sunnah. And you take food for them. You bring them food because they are preoccupied with the death. It's not the other way around. Not the other way around. So be careful of what is commonly spread among the Muslims, and sticking to the sunnah is the way to be saved when the people are destroyed. So this was the condition of our righteous predecessors. Furthermore, it has been mentioned that the grave is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah, or it's a pit from the pits of the hellfire. And we seek Allah's refuge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, visit the graveyards because it will remind you of the life to come. Maymun ibn Mihran said, I went out with Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah to the graveyard. And when he looked at the graves, he started to cry. Then he looked at me and he said, these are the graves of the forefathers of Bani Umayyah. As if they never enjoyed anything in the dunya. As if they never enjoyed the wealth in their lives. Don't you see that they're all have been placed in the graves, and everything has taken over them which Allah had decreed. Then he, rahimahullah, cried furthermore. Then he said, Wallahi, I do not know of anyone who truly believes and comes to these graveyards, yet he feels secure from Allah's punishment. If we truly believe, we will not feel secure. We will always be worried and concerned that we may be punished in the grave. We ask Allah to protect us all. He said, may Allah have mercy on you. This inevitable destination requires of us to do tawbah, repentance and righteous deeds. He said in the second khutbah, when we speak about this matter, we're not speaking about it academically. It is inevitable upon every Muslim to turn this matter of aqidah, this matter of creed, of the unseen, into practical implementation. And we don't just hear and we say, oh subhanallah, this is serious, I believe in everything that the hadith mentioned, but we don't make any changes. The Shaykh is saying that this should not be our attitude. Once we have acquired this information, once we believed in it, this should have a practical implementation in our lives. Every believer who believes that this is going to be his destination, he should know that there is nothing which will protect him from the punishment of Allah and the difficulty of the grave except the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way and the following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we really believed, then nothing will be able to affect our belief system. And nothing will be able to affect our following of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one will not commit adultery or fornication. He will not engage in riba. He will not oppress. He will not lie. He will not cheat. He will not harm. Because he knows that he is returning to the grave. And we will be questioned there about every single thing that he did. At the time when his family and his children and his wealth return, and he will remain alone with his deeds. He said, with this understanding, the earlier generations opened the lands. They opened the lands in the east and the west. And by us being ignorant of these realities and being forgetful about them, we have lost the means for success and victory. And we have lost the means of tranquility and security, except those whom Allah has showed mercy to. Because iman has become weak amongst us, then we have all this hatred and jealousy amongst each other, until the enemies are able to overtake the Muslim ummah, and all of them will gather against us in an attempt to destroy us. So O slaves of Allah, each one of you, each one of us, should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should seek refuge with Allah from the grave. And the grave shall tighten upon every single one. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the grave will squeeze someone. If anyone was to be saved from the squeeze, it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, because of his virtue and righteousness. But even he, the people of Jannah, that squeeze of the grave is inevitable. But Allah Azza wa Jal will facilitate it upon the believers. So let us then turn in repentance to Allah and take heed before it is too late. Death does not know anyone in the sense that he will give you a special notification. No one will receive an SMS a day before he dies that tomorrow you will die. Hurry up. Make sure you wake up for Fajr this morning and you pray the Salah in the first row on time and you give your parents their rights and you do what Allah wants you to do. No one will be notified ahead of time so they can make the necessary changes. It will come suddenly. And if that morning we didn't pray Fajr, if that morning we missed Jama'ah, if that afternoon we lied, we cheated, and we died in this state, then we'll be dying an evil end. It will be an evil end. Su'ul khatima wal'iyadu billah. This is dangerous. How many of us may be in that? Any day if we die, it may be su' khatima. So how often do we return to Allah from these evil ways? If we miss Fajr once, we shouldn't miss it again. If we miss Jama'ah once, we shouldn't miss it again. If we've been disrespectful to our parents, we should keep our mouths shut. Some of the youth have no idea how to speak to their parents. They speak to them as if they are the parents and their parents are the children. One word you say to your mom or your dad, wallah, if you have reached puberty, you may go to Jahannam and for billions of years because of a word one says to his parents. Uff, uff, is not allowed in Islam. And the parents, we have a responsibility towards the children. Are we letting them lead the life of someone who is destroyed, following their desires? These are things we need to calculate today, every time, before the next day comes around, because we don't know when death will come around. So may Allah reward him for this khutbah. There's another khutbah from, I believe, 2 weeks ago, which the Shaykh Bamunif insisted that I convey to you. So if you wish to stay, barakallah feekum. And if you're tired of me already, or tired of just listening, and then you're all excused to leave, inshallah. But it's an interesting khutbah indeed. It has to do with actually terminology. Terminology. He said back then that people today have made, come up or invented a new way to mislead the Muslims from the past. It's not really new, but it's being used tremendously today. So they are trying to push the people away from the truth and from the da'wah and declare war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't Allah say in the Quran, verily they used to be, whenever it was said to them, La ilaha illallah, yastakbirun. They will become arrogant. And they would say, أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Do you expect us to leave our gods because of a crazy poet? Speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to them, La ilaha illallah was odd. What is this La ilaha illallah? You think we're going to stop worshipping our gods because of a poet is telling us to La ilaha illallah? See how they're playing with words? He went on to say that this was, I'm going to summarize because this will be too much for you, I know. Don't worry, I'm going to summarize tremendously inshallah. This methodology is actually as old as Iblis. When Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, wanted to trick Adam and Eve and get them out of Jannah, what did he do? The same tree which Allah had made prohibited upon them, he told them, this is shajaratil qulb wa mulkin la yabla. This is the tree of eternity and an authority or a dominion or a sovereignty that shall never cease. So he told them, that same tree which is supposed to be prohibited is the means for you to remain eternally. And Adam alayhi salam did nothing, then anyone will trick him. And he swore by Allah. Satan swore by Allah, إِنَّهُ لَمِنَّ النَّاصِحِينَ. He's among the sincere advisors. So Adam alayhi salam didn't think someone will, according to the ulama, could not perceive that someone would swear by Allah lying, and they forgot. And they ate from the tree, then Allah repented, accepted Adam's repentance alayhi salatu salam. So then who started displaying with this word? Shaitan. By twisting the meaning of the word tree and making it something other than what it really is. Furthermore, Fir'aun had followed his footsteps. And Fir'aun said to the people, allow me to kill Musa and let him call upon his Lord. I am afraid that he will change your religion and spread corruption upon earth. Fir'aun is saying that Musa will change your religion, the religion of Fir'aun, which is what? أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord the Most High. Then Musa will spread corruption upon earth. And Fir'aun is what? He's the Sheikh, according to him. He's the one who will spread goodness. Musa is the one spreading corruption. Playing with words. Tricking the people with terminology. And among the classical examples in this day and time is when the Jews and the Christians attack the Muslims in the various Muslim lands, and the Muslims try to defend themselves, they're called terrorists. However, those engaged in killing the Muslims are called people who are seeking peace. Right? They are the ones who are fighting for freedom. So then, things have been turned around. And the Muslim who's trying to establish his right and defend his honor is a terrorist, and the one who's taking away his honor is someone who's, you know, trying to spread goodness among the creation. Another means with which they do this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us. He said, "The night and the day shall not come to an end," meaning the day of judgment shall not come to an end, shall not come until a group of my ummah will drink wine, but they will call it something else. And this is happening today. You find some Muslims in some of these Western countries drinking a beer. And not the halal beer that they sell here, the beer. And he will say, brother, this is not wine, this is not khamr. Khamr is wine. This is not wine, this is beer. Ma fi mushkila. Believe it or not, I'm not exaggerating. Some people do this. Not many, but very, very, very often you will hear some ridiculous statement that, you know, tequila, vodka is no problem. Only wine is haram. And the Prophet ﷺ said that these people will come. They will drink it and they will change the name. They say there's nothing wrong with that. Among the ways they play with terminology is when they bring someone on TV, a wicked person who's doing all kinds of evil, but he says that he prays and he did umrah. And so they come and tell the people, you know, there's nothing wrong with someone bringing, you know, a relation between two lifestyles. You can be a good Muslim while committing zina and getting involved in riba and do no problem. He's still labeled as a good Muslim, even though he's engaging in major sins. Another way they play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when they bring these misguided people who will have like a half-naked woman with them on the show, and then they will say that what we're doing is fen. It's art, you know. The artists, you know, they have a special way. You know, it's normal for us to act. What do you expect? It's a soap opera. There will be men and women that are half naked. Nothing wrong with that. This is art. You don't understand it. You're a person of religion. You don't understand art. So they play with the game. So they turn fornication, mixing and all these haram things into something allowed because it's art. And we, the people of religion, we don't understand art the way they understand art. And the same thing, calling the woman to go out and become equal with the man in the name of freedom, in the name of be equality. They tell the woman, you are equal to a man, and this sounds attractive. This sounds good, freedom. We're freeing the woman. The title is attractive, women get trapped. And they actually go out, they're trying to live like a man because they were told that this is your freedom, as if they are being imprisoned right now. Another way they play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when they say, consenting adults, if a male and a female engage in an illegal sexual relation and they are both agreeing, there's no rape involved, that we should have no business in them. This is something that they choose to do. They're both adults, they both have understanding. So this is fine. These are called consenting adults. No longer zina, it's no longer the title for people committing adultery fornication. They're only elderly people who understand and they're doing that which they think is good for them. Another means of playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is those who come out with giving fatawa, making halal and haram and changing and twisting the deen, you know, by changing the names and playing with the names and keeping the people away from the scholars. So you find someone who has no knowledge of the deen going out and giving fatwa. And if somebody, you know, complains, they say ijtihad. Ijtihad is exerting the Islamic knowledge which you have to deduce a ruling if there is no straight textual evidence. So now everybody's doing ijtihad. And you know, no, the people who are qualified for ijtihad are very few, including the four imams and like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ibn Qayyim. Not that many people are at a level where they can actually do ijtihad. It's a high level of knowledge. When you have acquired so much knowledge, you're able to look into the textual evidences in this fashion. Tayyib. Furthermore, the way they play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, these cartoonists, the Danish and Swedish, and every other day, you know, the South Park, these wicked people coming up and drawing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the name of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. This is just another way of expressing ourselves. What is your problem? What is your problem that if we're speaking about your messenger? That's not a big deal, because we have the freedom to say whatever we want. And when the Muslims use freedom of speech to say, if you keep playing games with us, we will take revenge, they will say, look at these criminals. Well, that was freedom of speech and this is freedom of speech. But double standards. They play with the people. And Allah will take revenge. Don't worry. You know what إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ means? The one who hates you is the one that will be cut off. Wallah, you will see each one who insults the Prophet ﷺ shall have a terrible end in this dunya, and what is waiting for them in the life to come is worse. You will see how they would be killed. sooner or later, whether through creatures or Allah will destroy them in a manner which is befitting. And it was said in an old narration that some khatib was given khutbah, and among the people present was a noble Amir, and this is from hundreds of years back. Now the man wanted to praise the Amir. A blind man came to the Amir, and the Amir looked at him. So the khatib said, "La abasa wa la tawalla." He did not frown, nor did he turn away. What is he saying indirectly? That he did better than the Prophet ﷺ, because Allah reprimanded him, "Abasa wa tawalla," and "Ja'ahu al-a'ma." He frowned and he turned away. So he's saying that this man now is better than the Messenger of Allah. The one narrating the story said, "Wallahi, it wasn't years before I saw the same khatib at the door of the masjid begging the people." From the high status he was, Allah degraded him to asfalu safilin. Anyone who touches the honor of the Prophet ﷺ shall be humiliated. Rest assured. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything. We have a responsibility against the honor of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. But if we're unable, Allah will take revenge per the Quranic texts. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Another way they play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by cheating and paying the rashwa, bribery, and all this they call, you know, this is skills. MashaAllah, the brother will finish your process, he will process your paperwork in no time. How? By bribery, by lying, by cheating, by falsifying, by forging. And now this is called skills. Wallah, this is mumtaz. You go to this man, he will handle your paperwork. Not because he has skills, because he's doing all kinds of haram things. But they cannot tell you he's going to do that. They will say he's got skills, akhi. He's got, mashallah, very intelligent person. Playing games with the terminology. And last, we're going towards the last page. Ma'alish, forgive me. May Allah reward you for your patience. Among the means that they play with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they, every time you try to teach the people something, a group of people will come and say, "The deen is easy, and these people are making the deen difficult." So it becomes, when you try to call the people just to adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah, you're not bringing anything new. You're not bringing something from your mind. We're just quoting a hadith and ayah. Still some people say this is extremism. Islam is easy. And in the process, they're trying to ruin the commitment of the Muslim with the deen of Allah. Until he does almost nothing. He barely prays the five daily prayers. He's considered a practicing Muslim. But practicing Islam is praying five times a day. This is one element of Islam. And Islam is a lot more than that. So extreme, you know, applying the deen becomes extremism on the expense or on the premise that the religion should be easy. Anyways, the Shaykh said, be careful then, my brothers in Islam, from falling into the trap of those who try to change the names and twist the meanings. And remember that whenever we are confused about these matters, we must refer them back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and back to the people of knowledge, afwan, because Allah said in the Quran, "Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun." Ask the people of knowledge, people of dhikr are the people who know the Quran and the Sunnah, if you don't know. So we refer back to the ulama, so we will know the truth of the matter, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all and to make us among our righteous servants. If you wish to hear these khutbah translations again, then kindly go to www.onewaytoparadise.net. onewaytoparadise.net. And you could get the khutbah translation, the same audio and other material regarding da'wah in English, which you are free to share with others. There's no copyright. If you wish to take something, burn it and make a million copies, barakallah feek. We will surely appreciate it. Secondly, a last advice. I noticed that while I'm doing the khutbah translation, you know I have to begin right away because A, they tell me to begin right away. B, we don't want people to leave. Many get up and pray the sunnah. And I wonder why. How can someone pray with this distraction? To be honest with you, it's difficult to focus while someone is speaking on a loud microphone over your head. And what is the rush? Who said that you must pray the sunnah right after the fariḍa? In fact, the prayer at home is better than the prayer in the masjid. If you really want to get the sunnah and get your reward multiplied, you pray the sunnah at home, not in the masjid. So either you do it at home, which is more rewarding, and I have maybe 8 narrations I can quote to you, but this is not the time to prove to you that the salah in the house, except the fariḍa, is better than that in the masjid. And second, you can wait until we're done, and then pray the sunnah when everybody's gone. But pray, I feel bad that I'm distracting you. Second, I wonder how you can focus. Third, what's the rush? So if you agree with me, barakallah. If you don't agree with me, do what you like. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. بارك الله فيك. عليكم السلام. أهلا. السلام عليكم. كيف الحال؟
مرحبا.
I don't know. ما شاء الله. عليكم السلام. كيف الحال؟
One way to paradise.
.net. Yes sir. Yes sir. Let me give you a card. I think it will be easier. Just in case you forgot it. It's right here. One way to paradise. .net.
Jazakallah.
Barakallah. Alaykum assalam. Kya hai sir? Alhamdulillah.
Before two weeks, I ask you one question about the hijama.
Yes. I remember, but yeah. I don't have the means to communicate. Can you email me so I can email you a whole fatwa, because I have some material ready.
Yeah, okay.
You have my card, right?
I'm here.
Just email me the question and I will email you the answer, inshallah.
Mobile number is that in your card?
On the card as well, yes.
I'll call you.
Yes. But it's better to email me so I can, because there's a lot involved. And I would like you to read the whole thing. I can even give you the fatwa in Urdu if you want.
No problem.
Whatever you prefer. There's a website that has it in Arabic, English, and Urdu.
Okay.
So just email me, I will email you back, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Barakallah. You're welcome.
Somebody was asking this, that Adam al-Salam and Shaitan lives in the suit. How did Shaitan teach in general?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed him to be among the angels. In the beginning, he used to worship Allah among the angels. And Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So Allah commanded the angels to prostrate, and Iblis was among them. And Allah specified he was among the jinn. He wasn't an angel, but he disobeyed the command of his Lord.
In
Jannah. Now, but the ulama have differed. Some of them say that the Jannah, which the Adam inhabited, is not the same Jannah that the believers will go to. And some of them say it's exactly the same one. Either way, Iblis's affair was not exposed until Adam was created. So before that, there was no reason for him to be kicked out, because he didn't commit the crime yet. Even though Allah knew he would commit the crime. Once the crime was committed, then the punishment came. So this is why he was in Jannah, because he was innocent until then.
There are so many variations in this. Somebody was saying the peacock and the snake help him to reach Jannah.
No. This is from the Christians, ya akhi. This is a totally Judeo-Christian belief. Even the statue in Italy of Satan, they have him with a snake around him. This is all from... No, we don't believe in that. If we don't have any supporting evidences, we don't believe that. Yeah. Barakallah feek. Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you.
You're welcome, akhi. Salaam alaykum. Kayf hayya shaykh. Allah khalik. Alaykum as-salam, akhi. Barakallah feek.
Can I have your email or
your card? Yeah, I can give you my card. It has the number and the email ID and the website. 3-in-1.
Okay, fine. It is mentioned
right
here for Urdu also, you
said.
There is the options.
No. If I could email you a fatwa in Urdu.
Okay.
But there's no Urdu there, unfortunately.
Okay.
I don't know Urdu.
You have English also.
No, I mean, if somebody has a question, I have...
Beside this, you have Urdu and also English.
No Urdu, only English.
But you're saying that you're sending the Lord.
There's confusion. The brother hadn't asked a question about hijama.
Yeah, that's the one I'm asking.
Yes, I have a website which has fatawa in 7 languages, the same fatawa. So I found it in English. I told him, if he wishes, I can just click one button, it will give me the Urdu. I will copy, paste, and give it to him.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hey. You can find it if you go to IslamQA, islamqa.com. And you put in the search box whatever fatwa you want, you know, put the wording in English, then on the top you click Urdu, it will give you the fatwa in Urdu. It's a wonderful website. IslamQA.com. Yes. Alaykum as-salam. Ahlan. Barakallah feek.
Alaikum salam, how are you? How's everything?
Can I get today's
coupon? No, they need it actually.
I have to return to him because he
told okay, me. No, please, by all means. Good, you're doing what we want. Barakallah fi.
Exactly.
Yeah.